This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You can take part in chats like these by joining Gators Breakdown Plus starting at $3 a month. Link is in the description, and you get access to all these features. You get these extra episodes. You get access to the Discord server where you get to have text chats. It takes part in chats like these as well. Hey, another big bonus, ad-free Gators Breakdown Plus episodes, Q&As, giveaways, custom shout-outs, all that at Gators Breakdown Plus. Link is in the description. Come join us.
We could all come up with, you know, probably, what, 6, 7, 8 names that we probably think, you know, okay, show the, you know, thank you for your time in orange and blue, and, you know, let's go make this team better. Certainly, I think we could come up with some guys. But I don't know how Billy Napier will attack that part of it. I don't think he's the type that's really going to, you know, just cut guys off the roster.
It doesn't feel like we would be that aggressive either for this spring portal. Unless we were forced to. So losing 8 guys and, you know, only targeting 2 or 3 or 4, you know, in the portal, you know, receivers, edge rushers, you know, the spots we really need, that would put us, I mean, giving 4 scholarships to walk-ons or something just to, you know, make sure we're deep enough at the position in the fall.
Well, I mean, here's part of that. That's in the transfer portal, we all know what happens, but I mean, tampering happens, 2 and 4. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm sure there's a plan in place. You know, you just heard Chot say, you know, he knows of one. And look, we know behind the scenes, you're talking to guys that may have interest and guys who may be who may end up being on your team. So it's not going to be this huge surprise. If you know you got 4 guys lined up that want to come to Florida right now, you probably are going to have to make those tough decisions.
Yeah, you're right. If you've already got them lined up in the background, and you know, then yeah, hey, then they're dead weight. You know, the other guys, whoever, if you can bring in instant starters or impact players, then you definitely would cut 4 players that are backups or third string. You know, absolutely.
I think my hope is, and I'll let you guys jump in. We can kind of combine the thoughts here. I think my hope is, like what we saw, it, I don't know how true it was, just because I don't follow that team a whole lot, but Louisville, you know, it came out and they're losing like 4 offensive linemen or whatever. I think my hope for Florida right now would be not one position group getting decimated, and you don't have a chance to really make up for it. And, you know, I don't know what position group that would be for Florida where that's a chance of it happening. But, you know, could you lose some offensive linemen that you're not projected to lose, or a linebacker or two that you're not really projected to lose? That would be my worry, is a position group getting decimated and you not really planning for it. And then you either got to backfill with guys that may not be instant contributors or are instant contributors because they have to be, and you lose maybe some of the talent there. Maybe guys that are fighting for starting positions don't feel like fighting for those jobs in the fall and make them go start somewhere else. So that would be my concern. And, you know, that's probably the concern for everybody right now, every team. But dial that in a little bit closer. Hopefully it's just not one position group that really gets hit.
That was tough on Louisville, man. 4 linemen at once. That's hard.
Yeah. I saw that yesterday.
Yeah, they run air raid. They don't need them too bad.
But yeah, you're right, Dave. I mean, that would be the biggest fear, is losing somebody that we aren't expecting that it could be a big contributor to this upcoming season.
Are y'all good on the?
I thought.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Do you want? Go ahead, David.
No, just know if y'all were good on Portal Talk right there.
Oh yeah, yeah.
All right, so let's go back to the spring game, and a question I want to ask you guys. In that window, you know, and we can take this. We'll have some fun right here on the chat. I want to go position while we're talking position group. And this was a question I had before. I just went position group for transfer portal. Is there a position group you feel better about, and is there a position group you feel worse about? Granted, as I said, you know, I know some of you like me don't take too much stock in the spring game. Some of you, and look, I don't care if you do or not. That's however you want to do it, but. Based off of Saturday, and maybe, you know, even combine that with all the episodes we did and hearing from the coaches, and look, all that's going to be mostly pretty good, positive, optimistic feedback when the coaches talk and the players talk. But, you know, combine all that, maybe in some of the insider notes of who showed out, who struggled, what we saw on Saturday's position group you feel better about, position group you feel worse about.
I really like safety right now. I really like Turner's game. He's doing great.
Yeah.
Feel much better about that position.
And linebacker, I think.
Yeah,
be deeper at linebacker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't notice it on the first go. I didn't notice it on the first
go. Really, really scary.
Yeah, I didn't notice it on the first go around, and the first name you guys brought up before I had to hit the re-record was Pup Howard, but watching the replay, I mean, Manny Nunnery played a whole lot better than I remember on Saturday. He was. I know he had the interception, but he was in the backfield. He was another one of those attacking guys on defense. So throw him into that mix with Jamar James, Pup Howard, Jaden Robinson is going to be in that mix as well. That might be your top four linebackers for Florida, but Nunnery knows athletic passing down situations. I can certainly see he's going to carve out a role, I think, with linebacker with this team.
If he doesn't transfer.
I mean, I was real impressed with the nickel. I thought Aaron Gates was flying around the whole spring game.
Man,
Gates looks good. Man.
He did.
I really liked it.
He was another on the replay that I noticed that I didn't notice originally. And I mentioned Sharif Denson earlier too. I put this in the chat earlier, guys. I mean, I think that should be a really good battle. And you know, go into you guys what you said. Safety, nickel. I do feel better about that group. And you guys know I have felt pretty good about safety bringing in those transfers anyway. I've been probably pretty high on those guys, and hopefully it bears out that way. But nickel, maybe. Yeah, if we want to dial it in a little bit more, but yeah, maybe nickel, because I love what I saw from Sharif Denson and then Aaron Gates too. And how close he played to the line of scrimmage and some of those plays he was in the backfield making plays. I agree. I like what I saw. He was a name that came out through spring practice because he had been injured that we didn't hear much from before and now could create a really good competition where come fall, Florida's got a pretty good nickel star there between Denson and Gates.
I think Asa Turner is going to help a lot also.
I watched that play where he broke on the ball about five times in a row today. So,
man, his quickness, that kid is the real deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just having that senior leadership back there, it's going to be so huge for him.
And we didn't get to see it all too much. You know, I don't know how much he played. I didn't get a snap count or anything, too. But he's supposed to be a for sure tackler as well. So that's something I think, you know, when we talk about that safety group, certainly. And look, we might as well bring it up now. I didn't really dive into it in the episode, the recap episode. But, man, tackling was so much better.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm going to have to agree.
And that's going to be the key. I mean, you could definitely tell a difference. I think you mentioned it, Dave. I mean, guys were a whole lot more, proactive instead of reactive.
And you know what? Aggressive.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of guys stripping balls. I've never seen that before. Even after a play was dead, guys are stripping balls. That's great to see.
Yeah, it definitely looks like more aggressive.
Yeah, I think with that aggressive and tackling, I think that's why tackling looked better, you know, that aggressive style, because there were guys around the ball. Like, you know, there were multiple guys in there, you know, plenty of gang tackling, not a lot of one-on-one situations. You know, a lot of those tackling issues we did see last year, look, I know it was in this two-hour window, but a lot of those tackling issues were one-on-ones. those guys couldn't make the tackle, and then a big play would happen. At least there were multiple guys around the ball.
How did you guys feel about the defensive line play overall?
We still need a pass rusher. A good one.
That, yeah. Obviously. But I was also going to say, I think the interior defensive line was maybe one of the disappointments for me. Just because, I mean, Dez honestly just probably looks the worst he's been in a few years. And he's been a big part of the rotation the last 2 years. But also, I don't think Dontre is going to be quite as ready as like a Chris McClellan was. So I think we're kind of down to four or five guys there, which is fine enough, but it'll wear on you, especially with our schedule. So we may need to add something there, even if no one leaves.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like,
I don't think Caleb lost a step.
I mean, like Caleb Banks, I didn't really notice him at all Saturday. Even in the replay, Jackson did some things. Slackman hit it. He had a really good play early on. I know he was with the second team defense mostly. If sacks were to count, he wouldn't have had the sack, but he actually would have caused the sack. He created pressure up the middle, and I think Lagway had to run to his right a little bit, and he would have been sacked by the end. And it was Gums or who's the other kid?
Quincy Ivory.
Ivory, but there's the other one. Maybe one of those two guys. But I think it was Gums. I think Gum would have been credited for a sack in a real game in that situation. But it was caused by Slackman coming up the middle. So, of course, that's what you want to see from a guy like him. And then LJ McCray making his presence felt as well. So, yeah, I thought it was an inconsistent day all across the front. There was some good. One of the bigger runs earlier in the game was Damian George. I know overall we think he still might get passed over, but there was one play on one of the big runs where he just completely shoved Jamari Lyons out of the way. I mean, and pushed him down the field.
I was just going to say that. He plowed him for like 20 yards.
He did. So it was something I didn't notice right away either, but you know, I was watching the replay today, and it was like, okay, if we can get that Damian George, okay, sign me up. I didn't see.
Oh, man, we had to do it. You do double take like me. I was like, wait, who is that over there?
I had to make sure I saw number 70 because I was like, huh? But granted, like I said, you know, up and down day, offensive line as well. You know, we saw some of the big runs. I did think, you know, Ball, a lot of his runs, you know, you give some credit to the offensive line, but some of those were his vision, his cuts to get some of those yards. But, you know, I thought trench play on both sides of the ball was, probably pretty inconsistent. Now, is that a good thing? You know, in a spring game, that could be a good thing. But, yeah, that was really hard for me to know, you know, feel good, feel bad about.
Yeah, I went back and rewatched, focused on the offensive line. And I think, aside from that one play that has been all over Twitter because it was LJ, I think Manuel, he had a pretty good day. I think he'll be perfectly consistent for us. And then on George, I was focused on him. I think he still has a lot of the negative plays where he just completely whiffs, like he did at tackle, but it does seem like he has more positive plays at guard. So maybe a little more variance in his game, at least.
And MVP, I mean, for that, the Manuel versus McCray, I mean, don't we want a five-star to show a play like that every now and then, though? I mean, I don't want to slam.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I don't want to slam Manuel too hard because LJ McCray should be doing those things. I mean, so
yeah, I just meant that's the one play of him that's been on the internet.
I didn't mean that at you. That's like you said, it's been the play that everybody's been sharing, and I have seen it where it's probably more credit to McCray, but then I'll see somebody, you know, oh, Devin Manuel's not ready. That play is not going to tell me if he's ready or not.
Yeah, he's just a big guy. It's hard to keep up with a, you know, fast little freshman making a move.
Hey, MVP, what did you think about Crenshaw Dixon?
I don't know. He's consistent, but I don't think he's consistently great. Kind of reminds me of this last year's Barber. You know, he can make some plays. He won't be a total div, but not great.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of how I felt about it, too. But, yeah, I don't know. The offensive line looked more of about the same. I mean, I didn't really see anything that, we're making gains in that position. It looked about like what we've seen.
Yeah. Consistent offensive line for Florida.
yeah, that's true. But yeah, against your better conference competition, those guys probably get their lunch.
That was the one thing I was really looking forward to. I really wanted to be excited over that line. It's just there was nothing there to really do that.
I do think, you know, hopefully that's the ugliness of a spring game. I do think Slackman could probably play with that starting group a little bit more. You know, like I said, he was with the second team defensive line. Yeah. So, you know, I think the way it was broken up a bit hopefully can help the defense. But, yeah, the starting offensive line was pretty much what we thought it would be, minus maybe Barber on the left side. But, yeah, I do think, and I think while we talked in Portal a while ago, interior offensive line – is probably a spot that they'll be targeting as well to maybe create some of that competition. Their Bryce Lovett's name was brought up, and there was a lot of talk coming up, but there was not a whole lot to look forward to in the spring game for the young offensive linemen. So, look, that's, like I said, that's only one window, the only window we get to see. Hopefully the talk of him rising up through spring practice was true, and he's going to continue to compete for a starting job, but Saturday was not a look in the right direction there.
Anticlimactic.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is the general consensus that, you know, Barber may be better on the right side, or, I mean, does it even matter at this point?
Yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't seem like the staff thinks that. I don't know.
Like a toss up, no?
Yeah. I know I'd seen something the other day that, you know, he said he played, you know, injured pretty much all year last year, but I don't know that even fully healthy, he's well suited for the left side. But yeah, I just wonder how much it may have played into it, but, you know, probably not a whole lot. But
we'll just bring Tarquin back.
I wasn't sure if you guys
know. There's four Louisville offensive linemen in the portal. We can get one.
They all suck.
They all suck.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Going toward the beginning of the game, I thought we saw Mertz, you know, try to take a deep shot to K-Jack, and then on that third down, did find K-Jack on a slant for a first down. I didn't notice until the replay that it was Jackson versus Moore, one-on-one, Moore press coverage, and K-Jack beats him on the inside slant there for a first down. So that was good to see to some point. I know the joke was, now you're telling me we don't have a defensive back. So, but you know, that was good to see for Jackson, because at least, you know, that's what I wanted to see from him, is more of a, you know, he made some highlight plays last year, but we need the consistent third down possession receiver, go get a first down when it's really needed. So there was one example of that. Don't want to make too much of it, but we did see it. Receivers, but besides Wilson, of course, you know, Burke had his moments as well. But, you know, I know as people said, you know, as much as the same, you know, not a whole lot of separation. Definitely for the deep balls. You know, the deep balls early, the calls that were there early in the game, you could tell they were calling those, but, you know, Mertz didn't let the ball go, and from what I could tell, probably shouldn't have let the ball go. And I know part of trying to hit the balls down the field was trust his receivers a bit more, but I probably wouldn't have trusted throwing the ball in those situations either.
DK didn't impress me a whole lot.
Yeah, that wasn't.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know. Sorry,
well,
Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to say, follow it up. Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot there Saturday from him.
Not even a lot of targets.
Well, I'm kind of like, I think Rooster mentioned it. You know, I mean, those guys had the Wisconsin connection. I figured we'd say, you know, see a little bit more than what we saw Saturday. But, you know, I mean, you know, guys are still working out the kinks and everything. So, I mean, it may be nothing to it. But.
Yeah, the first, you know, like I said, we don't get to see the scrimmages. And the first scrimmage was apparently he would lit it up. So,
yeah, I think those two will be fine together. I'll just, you know. I guess, you know, we were hoping to see a little more Saturday, but it's not really a huge deal on the grand scheme.
He didn't even get a catch until towards the end of the game, did he?
Yeah, it was that nice first down, right?
I thought he had one short. He had two catches.
He had that slant.
He had two catches. Here, I can look at it. He had two catches on the game.
Yeah, he caught one right on the sideline.
Yeah, like second quarter. But that was it was not even Graham Mertz. It was Millen for his first completion.
Oh, I think it was the last drive of the game, Dave.
Let's see.
When they were going to score. He had that right before Arnold.
Yeah, that's
Yep.
Was that Was that a Mertz ball when DK went into the bushes there?
Yes, it was. Yep.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Well, remember, now, remember, and I gave Denson a whole lot of credit for this. Now, remember, Denson's interception was on DK as well. You know, DK was the route. Yeah, DK was the target, and Denson played that really aggressively and, you know, went through him, and he, you know, the ball was his. So,
yep.
He was targeted four times. Yep.
Wow.
Okay. I just like to thank whoever just called them bushes and not hedges.
Oh,
well,
that was me. I'm a redneck.
Oh, we'd have to kick him out.
I said hedges earlier. Well, that's because the broadcast made a joke about him calling him hedges. So it was in my head.
Banned.
I'm just kidding, but they're not hedges.
They're shrubs.
Shrubs. Yeah, there we go. Bushes, shrubs, weeds. It'd be all right.
Gators Breakdown plus plants.
Yeah.
New podcast, Dave. New platform for you.
I mean, it is springtime. I mean, I guess.
Every plant except hedges.
Yeah.
Swamp weed.
Yeah, there we go.
Gainesville Green is something different entirely,
all right? Now it's out of control.
Oh,
hey, that's what the plus for. Yeah, that's what the plus is for. Gators Breakdown plus. I mean, you don't know what you're going to get.
Well, we can at least
win now.
We can at least say, Dave, that we had a lot more explosives this game. I will say that.
Yeah, certainly compared to last year. I know people are going to overlook it because, hey, look, we expect that from Trey Wilson or whatever, but we didn't see those plays from Trey Wilson like that. You know, that 60 yarder.
No, and
a lot of his
right.
were
that,
you know,
was nice.
You know, a lot of his were probably that what mid-range, you know, mid-range route. But we didn't see the, you know, the I don't remember what his longest touchdown was last year. Now that I think about it, and it wasn't 60 yards.
Well, probably that 35 yard seam route that Mertz threw.
The
Arkansas game?
Yeah, it might have been that one.
How long was?
I know the number though because I've been talking about of the 61 catches he had last year. It's only 8. That were beyond 10 yards in the air. So that was definitely different.
Yeah.
Wow.
I felt the play calling was kind of the same as we've been seeing. There wasn't anything that kind of jumped out behind the sticks, throw the pop past the tray. You know, it's kind of the same stuff over and over. I kind of want to see something new.
Yeah. I'm not going to try to defend Napier here, but if you are going to open it up, are you going to show it in a spring game?
Yeah, you're not.
No, I mean,
I want to ask something different along the same lines, and I'm sorry for joining late. Did you guys talk about how much tight formation we ran?
We haven't yet, but I do know that was brought up. You know, credit for Hal throwing some football strategy on Twitter too. But he did mention, you know, a lot more tight formations for Mertz and a lot more spread out formations for Lagway. Of course, it makes a little more sense with given Lagway being able to run. A bit, but he did throw that out there. But apparently, it may be something more Mertz is more comfortable with as far as the tighter routes.
I think part of it is both of the first team tight ends were on the blue
team. Good point.
And we ran a lot of 12 in the spring game, like considerably more than even Napier wants to run in a regular season. So I think that's probably a lot of why.
I'm so glad you said that because I didn't realize that. Yeah, because I'm so glad you said that because I mentioned that to myself in the replay as well. Yeah. I was like, hey, you know, Bordingham and Hanson out there a lot together. That makes complete sense.
And it did.
But back to wide receiver, I think we really need to find one in the portal, Dave.
Well, that's something that if you find a number one receiver or at least someone who can play outside and you can like leave Trey in the slot full time and everything, it'll help those 12 personnel sets a lot because you're just so much more dangerous when you only have 3 receivers on the field if you have a real outside threat.
You mentioned that from what I can gather, they want to move Trey around.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, the thing that made me think of it was you're talking about how DK was matched up against Denson quite a bit. I just don't think he's dynamic enough to like really play in the slot like that. So I think if you have more outside options and you can mostly leave Trey in there, get the nickel matchup, it's better.
And I agree. DK, I don't think he's an SEC caliber receiver. He's a good receiver, but I don't think he's at this level.
And look, not only that, I think there's a negative connotation on slot receivers. The game has changed. I mean, you go watch the NFL. I mean, slot receivers are, you know, they are used, they are focused on in an offense now. The old adage of thinking the slot is the third guy and the third receiver, and you know, it's the game has changed a bit now. And those guys are features in offenses now.
Why'd you guys think DK was unsuccessful? I thought he caught the balls that were thrown in his catchable radius. Like, sorry,
I don't understand that tech. I'm sorry. I don't see the athleticism as like a true SEC receiver. I think he's a good possession guy and will be a good option for Mertz. But there was nothing that really, that's just me, nothing that really popped out on me and what I've been hearing all spring on how good this guy is. But who am I? I'm not Billy Napier, so what does it matter? Some idiot sitting on my couch.
Couch tweeters.
Exactly. Oh, Lord. Bringing that up. Here we go.
Anyway, I was going back off your take, Dave, about the slot receiver. I think one of the guys mentioned it here, but I agree with it, that you kind of want your receivers to be like a basketball team. You want to, you know, you want to have a 6'5" guy, you know, you want to have a small slot guy, you know, and guy, you know, because when you get down to the end zone, you want a guy that can go up and get it, you know, and you know, fight for a ball when it's on third down, you're throwing against their best corner and stuff like that, you know. I mean, I know you can use Trey Wilson in any kind of way, you know, he can go up and get it and everything, but you definitely want that 6'5" guy, you know.
Yeah.
You just throw it up on third down and go get
Dallas Baker.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think you want to be able to move Trey around. You don't want to have to move him around is probably the best way to put it.
Great
view.
I think they're moving him around out of necessity, not because necessarily because they want to. It's because they have to.
Yeah, everyone's going to key in on him. Well, they do already, but still.
What do we think we're going to get out of Mizell? Anything of value, or is he still kind of, you know, a ways off?
I mean, that was a good touchdown play. Yeah. That was a good route. Yeah. I mean,
that was a great route, great throw.
And it had the
window.
Yeah, that route had to be run exactly like it was because he had to get up. He had to get past that linebacker, and he had to stay between the two safeties, and it was right there.
We can get a jump out of him, man. That'd be huge.
I'm expecting that. I think he showed enough. I think he's going to get a good amount of playing time. End of the year, I think that guy's going to be balling.
Like this receiver
group. Yeah, it depends a lot on what we bring in.
Yeah, this receiver group.
Name at the beginning of the year.
This receiver group might still be they might be good. You know, better than good in that intermediate range. I think rightfully so. If the question remained coming into spring and based off of the spring game, you know, I guess, you know, down the field, separation, explosion. And look, we'll get the answer in the spring game anyway, but I do think that question, you know, is more than fair to still be out there. You know, can they push the ball down the field?
Yeah. That's something different. Has Trey taken any of the pop pass end around jet sweeps, like, for any remarkable distance? Why do we keep feeding him that pass when he works great without it?
Already moving.
They like him moving, I guess. But, like, he never pops, he does not explode for 50 yards.
I'm saying you're right.
Yeah, but, you know, six, 7 yards have their places in a game too.
Yeah. Nah, come on. You don't need to get him hit for that. We got too many running backs for him to get fucking hit that way.
Well, there's two main reasons in the Napier offense that he does that. One, it's because when you don't have a running quarterback, you've got to keep that edge player home. So sometimes you have to go around the end quick like that. And then two, Napier runs so much of that motion that you have to use it once in a while. Otherwise, they're just completely not going to respect it.
Yep.
So it could be someone else. I agree with that. Like, I'd love to see Tank get in on some of those this year when Trey's outside.
Right?
Even Trell. Throw Trell out there.
Dude, I know you got different expectations with a freshman, but I'm excited about Tank.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind that play more, maybe more so if it, you know, like a, maybe a second and four, a third and three, you know.
I love that play.
Yeah, to get the first down.
I'm first and 15.
I feel you.
Yeah, I'm with you, Dave. It does kind of feel like it's always first and 10, first play of the drive.
Yeah, yeah.
You just know it's coming. It's never a surprise. Negative yards.
No. That goes back to the play caller when he calls the play. It's not the play may be good. It may work at different situations. It's just when he decides to run it, it doesn't work.
This has been a preview of a Gators Breakdown Plus members chat. You can take part in chats like these by joining Gators Breakdown Plus starting at $3 a month. Link is in the description, and you get access to all these features. You get these extra episodes. You get access to the Discord server, where you get to have text chats. It takes part in chats like these as well. Hey, another big bonus, ad-free Gators Breakdown Plus episodes, Q&As, giveaways, custom shout-outs, all that at Gators Breakdown Plus. Link is in the description. Come join us.